Force will be with you. Always.
Hello, geek and geekettes. It's time to nerdgasm over the next episode of The Alien Offensive.
Engage.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the third episode of The Alien Offensive. I'm here with Nate Dogg of South Dakota. This is Mark Demas. I'm sure you probably know us from our sports show, but maybe you're starting to listen to The Alien Offensive. And if you are, we appreciate it. We've gotten some pretty good feedback so far, so we're happy about that. We're big science fiction fans. We're big gamers. Maybe not as big as people who, you know, don't have to work for a living, but we do put a fair amount of time into these kind of activities and these kind of genres. Today, what we're going to talk about, we do want to just address the Star Wars spinoff HALT rumor. Now, don't freak out and say, oh, that's not true, and da-da-da-da-da. I understand that, and we'll go over all that. But I just think it's important to at least acknowledge that that kind of a rumor got out. Whether or not it came from Disney or had any validity doesn't really matter. We also wanted to talk about what spinoff movies we think would be a good idea for Star Wars. You know, stop giving movies people don't want and give people movies they do want. And I'm not saying that I didn't want to see a Solo movie. I actually was fine with that idea. I'm not real impressed with Solo. I don't think it was bad, but it just didn't enthrall me at all. We'll go into that. We wanted to address the fan film possibility of people wanting to do a remake of The Last Jedi. I don't think it's actually plausible, but it's interesting what has happened so far for it, and we'll discuss that a little bit. And then we're going to close out the show by reviewing our top 10 sci-fi movies, but these have to be standalone movies, okay? No sequels, no remakes. And I think we've avoided any remakes, or, you know, maybe one of these I'm going to find out later that they did do a remake. Oh, I just realized I can't keep this one on because that is a franchise. They made more than one. Ugh. I'll replace this movie with it. That sucks, though, because I really like that movie. And it was only the first one was even worth watching. The other ones were just low-budget crap. That's our rule. So no Lord of the Rings, no Star Trek, no Star Wars, no superhero, no Harry Potter, no Alien, no Terminator, no Mad Max, no anything. Back to the Future, anything with sequels, Harry Potter and Matrix and all the ones, all the franchises you've liked. We're not including any of those. These are just standalone films. And if you haven't seen these, these are great movies to see. I'm sure you've probably seen most of the one on my list. Nate might have a bit more of a more obscure list for your listening pleasure or viewing pleasure. But I think it'll be fun to go over that at the end of the show. So we'll just go as long as it takes us to get through that. Hopefully we can do this under an hour. We've got some things to do. We've already done one podcast today, so it gets to be a little laborious when you're doing multiple podcasts per day. But once I get rich and move into a nice house with a studio, then it'll be more fun because you just sit down and go. So we'll start off. Well, by the way, Nate, did you want to say hello?
Hi, guys. How you doing? Happy to be on. Excited to see what the third iteration of the show brings. And, yeah, man, I think we got some cool topics that we can kind of dig into. Some deeper stuff and just kind of some fun things and lighthearted things to talk about.
Exactly.
So I think it's going to be a great time.
And we're both in a lot of pain and sore. We both started different lifting regimens lately. And, good for you to do if you're getting older. It helps burn a little more fat. And I'm trying to get in shape overall. So also want to recommend Pepsi Zero. If they want to fund the show at all or even just give me free Pepsis, I'll be all for it. But I do got to say, Coke Zero was okay. But Pepsi Zero Sugar, dude, this is the close to a soda to taste real that I've ever had.
This is my first experience with it. I've never tasted it before. I've had Coke Zero, which I don't enjoy. I do not like Diet Coke
by any
means. So this is as close as I've had.
And I'm telling you, if you put this on ice and you're drinking it with a meal, you'll almost forget that it's not Pepsi.
Yeah, I think if you get used to it, you will forget.
Well, I mean, and I know I'm not drinking a real soda, but at least I'm getting the sensation.
Sure.
So I just have basically a 12-pack of this, and I have a 12-pack of Diet Squirt. So no calories or anything like that, but both of those sodas are something I can drink to give you some carbonation. I just can't drink carbonated water. I just don't like it. It's not the same. The carbonation is not the same. It's too micro-bubbly. It's almost like it's gone more flat from the syrup and soda or something. Mm-hmm. So anyway, The Star Wars spinoff Halt. So chaos is reigning supreme, right? So Solo is not doing well at the box office. It's got $199 million locally or domestically. It's got $346 million worldwide up to, I guess, yesterday or last week. So
with a budget of what we're guessing around $250 million, probably.
Yeah, I mean, you should look that up and see if you can get that number. But I'm guessing, yeah. Plus, I think it cost more when they switched directors and had to reshoot a lot of stuff. I think that raised the cost significantly. The marketing budget, to me, that's kind of baffling. So the budget was $275.
Yeah.
So, wow. So they're not even $100 million over budget. And remember, folks, so the way it works with a movie, at least this is how it worked recently. I don't know if it's still this way. First week, 70% of the proceeds go to the studio and 30% goes to the movie theater. Or it might even be 90-10. I can't remember how it starts. And then it goes down 10% every week until the studio is getting 70% or 30% and the movie theater is getting 70%. So basically, like, you know, however many weeks in, it stays at that level there on out.
But the first week isn't a full week.
Well, I don't know how that first week is measured. Oh. So it might be from the release date on Thursday at 7 all the way till – no, it might be all the way till the end of Saturday.
Oh, so it might be like a 10-day week.
Right. Got it. It's just a way to cheat and get higher opening numbers. Sure. I don't know any of that for sure, so Okay. Nobody quote me. I'm just speculating.
But, yeah, I mean, most movies that are any kind of blockbuster or are marketed such that they make most of their money either opening night or opening weekend.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So – yeah, I mean, there are those cult classics out there that become more popular down the line.
Oh, absolutely.
Great.
I will say this. Like I said, so here's the biggest thing that happens in Solo, and this has happened in all the movies except for Rogue One, which is the only movie that I think has really been well done. Since Disney acquired.
Okay.
Movies. I actually think Rebels is fantastic. Except for that last episode that pissed me off. But everything else was great. So, you know what? I can handle every once in a while getting pissed off if everything else is really cool.
Okay.
Well, there's two things I didn't like. The one thing I won't mention if you haven't seen it. The other one is the Jedi hunters that can have their lightsabers spin around fast enough to work as a helicopter. That's just kind of stupid. I didn't like that. But I chunked that. I mean, everything in the cartoon is supposed to be canon, so that's kind of why it bothered me. Because it's like, really? We're going to see people flying with their lightsabers, you know?
You are now.
But as a cartoon, it worked. You know, it would look weird in a movie.
Yeah.
But it worked in a cartoon.
Yeah.
So I think you're right that this thing could become a cult hit. Because it is a relatively interesting movie and good story. But somehow, Disney has made space fighting in Star Wars boring. Right? That's amazing.
Well, you and I talk about this time and time again, and the story, the quality of the story and the quality of the writing just isn't the focus anymore. You know, it's how do we make the movie look good, you know, and let's put some pretty people on the screen and blow up.
Ironic, it's like
stuff.
The exact opposite of what Lucas did in the prequels that everybody bitched about. Maybe that's why these movies, the critics love them.
Yeah.
Right, because now they're artsy films,
mm-hmm.
But you're like, but how are you giving these great ratings to such boring stories?
Yeah,
Rian Johnson's. I just can't even fathom how that. I still don't know how that got past the Disney board. I thought you would look at that script and go, "What the fuck are you thinking?"
Yeah,
you know that would have been my first thought. Was like, have you never seen a Star Wars film? Why don't you go watch some Star Wars films and then start from scratch? Because
well,
this is garbage.
The only time I'll probably ever come to Rian Johnson's defense, but. I'm guessing that end product was a combination of his vision and Disney's vision. And
Which is scary.
Yeah.
Like, what is Disney doing?
Well, it's a hybrid of crap is what it is.
It's just a marketing ploy.
Unfortunately.
So, like Rogue One, you know, granted, it was hard to get into the characters. And by the time you finally started to like them, they started getting picked off, you know, and you knew that was going to happen. But I never understand people who get pissed off and say that Rogue One was fan service. It's like, well, sure, in some ways, but isn't that kind of the point?
Yeah, that is.
Why do you
think
there's lightsaber fights? Why is there X-Wings and TIE Fighters?
Weren't defining what type of fan.
Right, I guess. But people thought it was crap. Like, people were mad that Darth Vader was in a film or the Death Star was in the film. And it's like,
oh, it was perfectly placed, though. It was
a
cameo.
Tiny
it
role,
was a cameo.
And it was badass. It was like, that's what we always wanted to see was Vader kicking ass.
Yep.
And it's like, anybody who says they didn't like that, I'm like, we are completely different levels of fan, or at least different types of fans. Yeah. We shouldn't discuss
I mean, that's one of the best, like, 2.5 minutes of my life.
Oh, just, I mean, I recorded that on my phone in 3D, right? Yeah. So I couldn't even watch it clear because I didn't have 3D glasses at home to watch my recording. Probably wouldn't work anyway. So blurry and fuzzy and all that stuff because it was a 3D on the screen. I still watched that thing like 45 times when I got home.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, dude, are you kidding me? Vader.
He just dominates.
Yeah. And it was so much fun. I mean, what?
It was like watching LeBron James in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Very good. Very close analogy. Yeah. I just, you know what? That was the only time I can remember outside of the Force Awakens up until the Millennium Falcon left Jakku. Because before that happens, I loved the new Star Wars. I thought J.J. did a great job outside of messing up the intro. Everything else I thought was great. I was like, oh, J.J. did a good job.
It was safe.
Well, I just thought it was good. Yeah. I mean, you had an interesting character in her.
Yeah.
You had him escaping from the Death Star, the escape scene in the TIE Fighter, which was cool, and then them getting on the Millennium Falcon and going on that awesome chase through the Star Destroyer.
There was
Star Destroyer.
A lot of well-done things in that movie. I think the opening, kind of the opening scene with her in that down Star Destroyer and her little outfit. And
right. Well, that's not the opening scene. The opening scene is the invasion.
No, her opening scene.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No. And outside of the fact that I don't like the fact that a ship did not come overhead to intro the movie like all the other Star Wars, I thought it was great up until that point. I mean, I actually really thought it was awesome. I was like, dude, whether or not everything else is going to be great, J.J. really captured Star Wars. This is great. At least I'll have some fun. Mm-hmm. And I still think he captured it for the most part.
I do, too.
I can watch The Force Awakens, and
especially the first, like, 45 minutes.
Yeah. I just say, don't worry about the mythology. Don't worry about Lucas' brilliance. Just look at it as a fun popcorn film. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You know, Rogue One, to me, was a good Star Wars movie.
Yep.
That was good. And then Rian Johnson's, you know, catastrophe that we won't even mention. And then Solo, but I think Solo has the same problem, is that it's not fun. Like, you're never like, wow, you know, like, that's what Star Wars used to be. It was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fun. It's not a bad movie. It's a good caper story.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a good job for not having, well, there's a lightsaber in it, but almost no lightsaber in it until the very, very last second. Stupid cameo. Yeah, it was bad.
Spoiler
You'll
alert.
See. No, it's bad. Well, everybody heard about it because people couldn't keep their mouths shut. It was out. It broke out like 4 days before the movie did.
Should we talk about it?
No.
Do you want to talk about
it? Well, what it is?
Would it help you?
Well, sure. Okay, well, so spoiler alert, if you want to turn on for like the next like minute and a half. So Darth Maul is in the very last scene, and Han Solo's former girlfriend is working with him in the crime syndicate after she kills the crime boss. And so it's like he's running the whole crime syndicate, and I think it's a way to introduce other things into later movies. I don't mind Maul. I'm not a fan of what they changed him into because he was this vicious, like, just ruthless, angry killer in
the original
Phantom Menace, right?
Yes.
And then they bring him back in the Clone Wars, and I know that he was like an enemy that people liked and everything. That's why they brought him back. But he then became this like philosophical, deep character, and these, you know, just internal struggles and these deep speeches. And you're like
Anakin Skywalker, kind of.
No, I don't think they were this. I don't think the Clone. That's not the impression I get. Anakin's not very deep to me. He was just kind
of. But he
had
a lot of internal struggles.
Right, but I mean, Maul is like a Shakespearean actor, like telling you his inner struggles.
Got it.
Like making them vocal.
Got
you
it.
Know? Like Khan. Think like Khan, right?
Got
From
it.
Star Trek.
Yep.
It's a good role for a character. I love Khan, at least the original Khan. You know, I love that he quoted Shakespeare and all sorts of other novels and things because it was like, oh, he's a rich enemy. He's evil for a reason, not
right.
because he's just evil, you know, which although in Star Wars, you are just evil because you're evil a lot of the time. But that's kind of what Star Wars used to be, right? It used to be good.
Yeah, but you have power.
Versus evil.
Yeah.
But it used to be good versus evil.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
You knew who the good guys were.
Right.
Knew who the bad guys were.
Yep.
New Star Wars movies? Who knows?
Yeah,
they're both bad.
The Resistance.
Yeah, they're all buying spacecrafts from these shipbuilders to go to war. It's like, no, man, what are you doing? You're just re-injunct. Guy just needs to be ice picked to the temple. I'm not kidding. I'm not advocating violence. I'm just, you know, but just I cannot. I'm so. See, I'm not angry. I'm so baffled.
There were so many opportunities, as we talked about, I think, in the first show. I mean, just the characters, right? Snoke was kind of this cool, mysterious character that they had created, that JJ had, you know, brought
forth. And apparently he's a badass, and he's seen the rise and fall of the Empire, he said.
Yeah, but you didn't. We didn't get much on his backstory, and his conclusion was really unsatisfying. And
very unsatisfying. Yeah. It was like the Seinfeld finale.
Yeah, so that to me was a big missed opportunity. Obviously, Rey's parents and that storyline, another one.
That's a bad storyline. It's that don't build something up so big and then just throw it away. At least have something significant to say about
it. Yeah, I mean, they could have gone in a number of directions. You know, they could have done the Anakin's mom, you know, the midichlorians and that immaculate conception kind of thing.
Anything, you know? Or keep it a mystery if you want to.
Sure.
But... yeah, I mean, and granted, I didn't want her to be Luke's daughter or Obi-Wan's niece or anything like that. I wanted I liked her to be indifferent, but, you know, it was like, well, it's just, again, just throwing away all storylines because you're writing episodic and you're not writing a tale, you know?
Yeah.
I just can't stand it. I'll never see another movie of his. And they say he's going to still get his trilogy for Star Wars. I can't imagine that thing make any money. I mean, there's not any fans who hated The Last Jedi that will go see anything he makes after the way he spit all over the saga. Yeah. So, anyway, and I do want to mention, we're not going to talk about Star Wars in every episode, but when we first started this, I said probably the first 5 to 6 episodes, we're talking about a big, big franchise.
Well, and it's an important piece for you and I, right? And that's why we're doing this show.
And people love Star Wars.
Yeah.
And there's a reason.
And we love Star Wars. Oh, and we want to talk about Star Wars.
You're wearing a Star Wars shirt.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a Millennium Falcon Kessel Run shirt.
See? So
and it wasn't coordinated or planned.
You go.
Just got a lot of Star Wars shirts.
Yeah. That's just our thing. So bear with us.
I mean, we're pretty good at hiding our nerddom out in public. Like, I don't dress up or anything like that. Or I don't, you know, look around my house. You know, I have basically 2 or 3 things that are Star Wars. I don't have a lot of collectibles or anything. I don't really quite understand that side of the fandom. I think it looks like it would be fun, but I also think after a while I'd be like, oh, this is kind of silly. Mm-hmm. Not really because it's silly, but silly because I'm too old and I have too many bills to spend the money on that kind of stuff. Although maybe if I was set money-wise and married, then it wouldn't be so, it wouldn't care so much. And it'd be fun. I think it'd be fun to dress up if I had any talent in creating costumes. So the rumor was that Disney was putting all non-episode films on hiatus and on freeze until they figured things out. Lucasfilm has later come out and said that's not true. We're still going ahead with all 9 movies that are planned because they're starting to get that backlash of people who were angry about Obi-Wan and Boba Fett movies that are supposedly in production getting canceled or put on hold. And then they were like, well, you know, and then we're going to go ahead with Rian Johnson's trilogy and the Game of Thrones guys trilogies and focus only on that. Again, Lucasfilm says not true. We're doing all the films. And so if episode 9 is, I mean, they've got to be shooting already, right? They've got to be getting close to finishing.
Yeah, it's almost done, I would think.
So I'm guessing the 9 movies in production don't include episode 9. So 6 of them are the 2 trilogies, Obi-Wan and Boba Fett. Who knows what the last one is, right? That's some other maybe random movie. We thought it would be interesting to kind of break down what we would like to see in terms of side stories or spinoffs. So I'll let you go first. We'll go back and forth, 1 and 1.
Okay.
I didn't actually write anything down. I'm just going to do these off the top of my head. But go ahead and pick your favorite one first.
My favorite one.
Well, just because you don't want me to then...
So my favorite one is kind of unique because it's not necessarily focused on a character per se.
Fine.
But I think... it would be really cool to see kind of not just some history of the Jedi, but specifically the lightsaber.
Like where it came from?
Where they mine the crystals and like the different properties of the different crystals and, you know, how the positive side of the Force influences what the crystals can do and the negative.
Some of that, not in the movies, but they have put it in canon material, which some of that I don't like. But like the reason that Sith blades are red is because the crystals bleed when they give their allegiance to the Sith Lord. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know what that really means. I mean, people flipped out when they first read it. I'm like, well, make sure we wait until we know what it really means. It doesn't mean it's bleeding.
Yeah.
It may be it's cracked into its essence or something.
Sure.
But No, I like that idea. I like more abstract ideas.
Yeah, it's funny.
Explore the galaxy.
There was a stupid Star Wars game that I played on my computer, and I wish I could remember what the specific name of it was, but that was kind of
Did you have
big...
a droid with a flat head?
Yeah,
that
I think
spun
so.
Around? Yeah, that was one of the RPG ones.
Yeah, and a big part of that game was building and crafting different lightsabers.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that was just so cool. You could get these purple crystals and the yellow crystals.
Well, how cool would it be to like learn science behind them?
Yeah.
You know, like people who were like the Jedi studying them and how they came. I mean, I know some people are like, no, don't take away the mythology.
And how they learned to put them together. Like, how did they figure out how to put them together, you know?
Is it plasma? As people always wondered, is it just a laser? Like, how is a laser hard, you know? Like, and... don't have to be like nerdy, you know, straight answers on things, but maybe just show like make the movie span like 2,000 years and like the advancements that happened. That's a great idea, dude. I love that.
Yeah,
idea.
That's my favorite one.
That
so.
Would be cool, dude. Yeah. I would be so on board with that. You know who'd be good at that? Would be James Cameron. I think he would make a good film on that. Or Spielberg. Yeah. My number one is, and I think I've said this on every show so far, so it may not be a big shocker, Jabba the Hutt movie. Directed by Quentin Tarantino and R rating allowed. You know, I just think, and I mean, I know you kind of get that thing where once you delve into R rating for a movie, then, you know, you've kind of broken that thing. But how good is Deadpool and how great was Deadpool 2? I don't know if you've seen Deadpool 2.
I haven't.
Dude, it's so funny. I mean, I was just, I am not an easy to laugh person in the theater, and I was roaring, dude. Ryan Reynolds, I mean, it's just so over the top and so ridiculous fourth wall breaking.
He was born to play that role.
Downey Jr.
Was born to play Iron Man.
Marvel has done some amazing casting. I mean, obviously...
Hemsworth for Thor, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Black Widow being, you know, the super hot Scarlet and Johansson. And then Hawkeye I didn't like so much, but I'm not a Renner fan.
Black Panther's great.
Fantastic.
Yes.
But that guy, I mean, everything that guy's done has been amazing. Martin Luther King, Jackie Robinson, this one.
He's a fantastic actor.
Just crazy actor. Yeah. I mean, crazy good.
Yeah.
Great casting. Yeah. Just spot on. I love Ruffalo as Hulk.
I do too. As Banner.
Chris Evans as Captain America. I mean,
he's pretty spot on too.
Paul Rudd as Ant-Man.
Yep.
I mean, he's hilarious. I mean, they just knocked it out of the park. I mean, but all the Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, that's why I think Infinity
Star-Lord
War.
Star-Lord is pretty dang good.
I think that's why Infinity War was such a hit.
Yeah.
Because there's so many characters you love so much. Yeah. Again, Disney, listen, or not Disney, you own both of them, Lucasfilm,
listen.
Pay attention. It's like they're trying to do a cheap knockoff of that. It's like, don't try and make it Marvel's with a Star Wars mod thrown on top like a video game.
Right.
Say, how are they going about it? Now let's do that in the Star Wars world. But it's almost like Disney doesn't want to hire anybody creative for Lucasfilm, or they're scared, or
they just don't have the right people, man.
Filoni or whatever his name is, David Filoni or something like that. Rebels is great, dude.
Yeah.
Rebels was all, I mean, it was so Star Wars. I'm not a big cartoon person or animation person, but just
story's
great.
Good.
Yeah. Such a good story. Ezra, the main character, was awesome. The rumor that he was going to be in the Star Wars movies, I was like, dude, that would be awesome. Obviously, you got to see the end of it. Anyway.
Yeah. No, but I love your idea. I mean, obviously, Tarantino's fun and, associated with a lot of violence.
Right.
So that
and
would
a criminal
make,
underworld. Yeah. Right. But make it funny.
That would make it pretty fun and interesting, I think.
And just an all out war that the Hutts waged against some other species to take over the criminal syndicate. And then Jabba rising to the highest position. I mean, what a cool story that would be. So
I think it would be awesome. Well, in that vein, I'll go into my next idea, which is the Sith.
Mm.
Just a more broad history, maybe, of the Sith, and they could kind of loop it together. I think they could do it in one movie where they did like a three-generation thing, and it was kind of back and forth, and they tied it together with the storyline at the end, sort of. But, you know, like a Darth Bane and Plagueis and those, and just kind of maybe diving into that a little bit. And I think, what's the crazy guy that directed Richard Burton?
What did he direct?
Batman. like the with Michael
Keaton. Tim Burton.
Tim Burton. Thank you. Tim Burton.
Oh, he'd be wild.
I think that would be fun to have a Star Wars movie.
I would
with
not
him.
Like him to direct a Sith movie. Yeah. I think he's too silly.
Not dark enough.
Yeah. I love his movie. I love a lot of his movies. But they're all
maybe
silly.
Christopher Nolan would be the right choice there. He's pretty good.
That gritty,
dark.
Yeah, it'd be nice
he's
and
dark.
Gritty. Yeah. That one, I don't know. I'm worried that they would be too rushed in one film.
It could be.
But I like your creativity because I'm thinking mostly characters. You're thinking outside the box.
Well, those are the two, and I have. No, those are basically the only two I have. The rest are characters.
But that's a cool idea, though. I mean, that lightsaber one still. That's great, dude.
Yeah,
we should submit that.
Yeah.
So then for me, again, going back to characters, I'm a big character person.
Yes.
Yoda.
Yeah.
I would want a Yoda trilogy, and that's where I would love Steven Spielberg on Yoda. But just even if it's not a trilogy, even just one film, like show Yoda when he was young. You know, like when he had long, dark hair.
Who his parents were, like, where did he come from?
Yeah.
What is his race?
Yeah.
You know, like
a world of Yodas. Yeah. Or, you know, of course, there was Yaddle in the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
She's
or
the
is
council.
He a hybrid of some sort of two different aliens? And
right.
Just became an outcast.
Yeah. Is he a mutant? But then he had power, you know? Who knows? I mean,
he's always been a really mysterious and cool character, you know? Like, that was like the best part about Attack of the Clones was his whole lightsaber thing, you know?
It was what saved it from being just a mess. I mean, it was still a mess, but...
Yeah, it was a mess.
Easily the worst Lucasfilm, in my opinion.
Yeah, mine
but you
too.
Know what? I know some people who really liked it. So, I mean, I just don't like the huge scale warfare on the ground. That gets boring to me.
Yeah, the acting intertwined in there was really poor, and I think it was due to a lot
of... unbelievable love story, and... But think of how good... the prequels would be if they remade them. And I don't mean remaking them now. I mean, if you could go back in time and remake the actual ones with the original characters.
Yeah.
But now how actors now understand green screen and how to work with it.
Yes.
When Lucas did it, it was revolutionary and no one understood except for like Qui-Gon and the Emperor were the only two guys who seemed to really understand how to see the Star Wars scene in their head and react. The other actors were like, well, I don't know what it looks like. And it's like, look at the storyboard.
That is an interesting insight. I did think Qui-Gon was very good. Liam Neeson.
Seemed natural the whole time.
And so did the Emperor.
Yeah.
I forget his name. But
Ian McDiarmid.
Yes.
Or McDiarmid or something like that.
Yeah, McDiarmid.
McDiarmid,
I think is what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, those two were fantastic. In fact, I think he won some awards, McDiarmid.
Not
like
big
an Oscar,
ones, but the smaller
but he,
ones.
He won some smaller acting awards for his role.
He's just great, man. What a great emperor he is.
He was fantastic.
And
he might be the best actor overall in that whole series for me.
Yeah, yeah. Not in terms of body of work as a career, but as just in
Star Wars. Star Wars.
Darn
legacy.
Close. I mean, Han Solo would be the only other one I would think. Harrison
but there's
Ford.
Two people that have played the emperor, right? Or has it been the one guy?
Well. The original interview or the original communication in Empire Strikes Back was somebody different, but that was since been replaced by Ian McDiarmid.
And he's been the same guy the whole time.
But he's done all six of those, all four movies with the Emperor actually in person. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So, it's a good, which, I mean, this is actually
kind of a
fantastic honorable
actor.
Mention is like before he gets too old doing a young, you know, Emperor Palpatine. One thing I will say about all these ideas. Any characters that I love, I'm nervous about suggesting because I'm afraid Disney's going to screw it up and ruin the characters.
I know,
love
man.
And be like, well, not
well,
ruin
Yoda's
them,
number
but...
one on the list for me.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to it before me because I had a little two that were a little outside the box. But, Yoda's my number one character.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to see a side movie on him. He is just so cool and mysterious.
I'm worried they would mess up his talking. I mean, even Lucas got into bad... angles with his talking in the prequels where he got too goofy.
So hard, man. It's so hard to
stay it's like
true.
He didn't. It's like you need to think. Not everything he says has to be backwards.
Right.
It's like just like the main themes have to be backwards, you know, the syntax. And I think George Lucas even had a little trouble with it, but it wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah, it was his dialogue was limited to the point where it was effective.
Right.
You know, and any kind of like it. In discrepancy, I guess, was kind of covered up by that small amount of dialogue. From,
yeah.
You know?
But like when he's like, you know,
cleverly,
at an end, your rule is and not short enough it was. Like,
yes.
That sounds great. But then like something more to say about it, I have. It's like, well, now that doesn't make any sense. That just sounds weird. Yeah. You know, just to me, just to my ear. So,
I agree.
But no. Hey, you know what? Seeing what Disney's made, Lucas, you're great. No complaints, because they're so bad now. Yeah. So, your next one?
Well, I'll do my next two, because you already kind of – Jabba was next for me. And so you kind of already –
Oh, I would say
go
down to the next one I haven't said then.
Yeah, so Chewbacca.
Ah, how he came around.
On my list.
Yeah, I mean, he's 200 years old and Solo, so he's got plenty of time beforehand to have a story.
Yeah, and just the whole Wookiee background, I think, Kashyyyk and
– see family life on
would
Kashyyyk.
Would be really cool.
Yeah. And then it would be really cool to see some Wookiee on human sex, you know, and just see how much it pisses off, like the silly people, you know, and be like, they can't show a bestiality. It's like, it's not bestiality, it's sentient, you know.
It's interspecies.
It's interspecies, yeah. Hey, you didn't have a problem with Uhura and or the green alien and Kirk getting it on, you know. But just because it looked like a woman with nice tits, you know.
Yeah.
So they make a Wookiee. If they have a Wookiee that shaves herself and then tans herself and then has a shapely body, then
so would they call that a hookie?
Chewbacca was picked up. He was caught with a hookie.
human Wookiee, a hookie.
I was thinking where you were saying like a prostitute.
Gotcha. Well, I was trying to be clever and do two with one stone there.
You did. Very well. So my next one would probably be...
I got three more. How many more do you have?
Ones that I really want to see. So the next would probably be Darth Bane.
Yeah.
I loved that trilogy. Mm-hmm. And they could follow that to a T, and it would be a great movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a trilogy, so maybe you have to do three movies. But, boy, the war between the Jedi and the Sith, him establishing the rule of two, then him finding that young girl who's got the power, then her turning into a sexy woman who used her, like, her hotness to sucker people in and then use her powers to, you know, espionage and whatnot. And then, the end of it, he transfers his essence into her. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome trilogy. Mm-hmm. That would be my next one. Be all for that.
Cool. So I'll just go down mine real quick. Mon Mothma would be one for me, which would be kind of intriguing.
You know what? I would probably like that, but I wonder if that would get too political and boring for people.
It might. And, you know, obviously.
For a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, that she's probably from money, you know, and that kind of thing. So maybe it wouldn't be quite as intriguing. Like a Princess Leia one would be maybe. That might be a little more intriguing. That's another one on my list.
Yeah, I don't...
just her childhood.
I think people would get mad.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah. Let's see. I've also got Admiral Akbar.
Yes. His home planet would be cool.
Which is Calamar, right?
Mon Calamari.
Mon Calamari. Yeah. That's right. Mon Calamari.
Mon Calamari.
And then Lando.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, kind of already got that. So,
yeah.
Got
some of it, yeah.
Yeah, it was. I didn't think. I like Glover, but I didn't think that was a very good role. I don't think they wrote him very well.
Yeah.
That's just a personal opinion.
Sure.
So, let's see. Do I have any left big ones out there? I mean, there's a lot of cool ideas they could do side stories on, but now that George Lucas has. I don't know if you saw, Lucas let out a letter or whatever, like, or an interview where he said what his idea for the new trilogy was. Oh. And his idea for the sequel trilogy, his idea was to get into the wills, you know, that he talked about, like, the Journal of the Wills was what Star Wars originally was. Mm-hmm. And then I guess either the wills or what they talked through were these microscopic organisms that were, like, associated with the midichlorians and whatnot. And, like, the movie was going to get deep into the philosophy of how the Force functioned, and like so it was going to be more of an internal struggle movie or set of movies instead of a external one. I think it sounds great. Of course, all the Last Jedi lovers then went and said, see how bad this would have been? Midichlorian shit again. And I'm like, midichlorians was one of the coolest things in the new trilogy. What are you talking about? Now you finally knew why some people had Force powers and some people didn't. That was what was so cool about it. But I do know that, and I guess I can understand, some people to me said, it took away the mystery or the mythology type, like the mysticalness of it. you know, like magicalness of it, mm-hmm. because it was just this, you know, this thing. And now it's like, oh, now we have to know why it happens. It's like, well, I like to know why stuff happens.
Yeah,
I
think exactly.
That's cool.
That's
my favorite part of sci-fi.
It's satisfying.
Yeah.
Right? To get to know the conclusion.
Satisfying.
Yes.
That's a good. We need to keep saying that. That's the problem. Star Wars is not satisfying most of the time now.
Yeah.
Only Rogue One actually scratched the itch you're looking for.
I agree. It was the most satisfying of the new of the new movies.
And again, I'm not saying you shouldn't see Solo. I think you'll enjoy it. I just think that it doesn't do justice to what you were hoping for.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. It's not a bad movie at all.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody to get that impression.
It's a lot to live up to, man.
A lot. That's the standard is very high for Star Wars.
The standard is very high.
So, and I will say, the Han Solo guy did fine. I thought his character was good.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that he tried to absorb.
You said.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, Chewbacca doesn't really talk. Yeah. But Einrich or whatever his name is, he took the Han Solo character and made it his version of the character. He didn't try to impersonate Harrison Ford, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think that's better. I think when you try to impersonate somebody, then it comes off as cheap.
But if
you say, this is the character, but this is how he would be if he was me.
Yeah.
That's what I like. So I think he did
that's
very
cool.
well.
Good.
So I've got no complaints about him. Again, Glover did not do well on Lando. It was basically just like, I mean, yeah, Lando's smooth, but he wasn't like smooth as when he was just like just too laid back and I'm the shit, but I don't have anything yet. Like I don't have an empire yet, or I don't have a big, you know, huge crime.
He was just a cocky dude with attitude.
Yeah, but he acted like he was already the pimp daddy, and it's like, well, you don't have that much. Why are you know? You're just playing poker, you know.
Well, he was probably trying to act out as the Lando down the road, you know, instead of
that's what I'm talking about.
Based on what he had seen,
he tried to give his impersonation of Lando, mm-hmm. of Billy Dee Williams,
right.
And not Lando as him,
which was probably spot on. You know,
oh yeah, it was very close
to
Billy Dee Williams. Not like that's a hard role to. I mean, you and I could do that. You know, as long as you look good enough, you can just be like, hey,
and
what do we have here?
You get to wear a cape.
Yeah, who doesn't want to wear a cape?
Yeah.
You know, well, except for Edna says in Incredibles, you don't want a cape because it causes death. So all the superheroes died because of their capes. Remember that?
I remember
the first
that.
Incredibles.
Yes.
We did go see Incredibles 2. Pretty good flick.
Yeah.
I don't give you a long review or anything, but all I'll say is when you see Jack-Jack going outside and getting mad at the raccoon, don't go to the bathroom. That's the best part of the whole movie. It's like 10 minutes of, I just thought it was awesome. It's my favorite. That's what I'll, when I watch it again, that's what I'm watching for.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hold a candle to the original.
No.
That's just my personal opinion. I thought, you know, of all animated movies, Incredibles might be my favorite. So I'm kind of biased. But
great movies often have a great villain, and it's hard to get another villain.
No,
as good
and
as
this guy
one.
Was a pretty good villain.
Very, okay.
Yeah, he was, you know, he was okay. But the movie itself, I would give it a B.
Yeah. I did not like the flashing scene. There's one scene where they're in a room and it's like all strobe and stuff. And man, and then I guess Disney after that, eventually had to put out a warning about seizures. I was like, how did you not think of that when you made this movie?
Yeah.
This is that. I mean, that was, I like kind of had to like kind of cover my eyes a little bit because I saw it coming. I was like, oh, I'm not good with strobe lights.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm not either.
And
yeah.
So I just kind of was like, oh, I'm just waiting for that part to, you know, get done. Which kind of, I mean, it won't be so bad on TV.
Yeah.
But in the IMAX theater, it was a little overpowering. So.
Agreed.
Now,
but it's an overall fun movie. Great for the kids.
Yeah.
Make sure you watch the original first.
You know,
before
you
come
and see it. I actually had a few people on Facebook tell me that their kids, if they're young, didn't like it.
Hmm.
Like they couldn't follow the plot.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying is you have to watch the original first.
But I'm just saying that kids that
it's
young
not
are
good,
not able to follow
yeah, it's
it.
Not a good standalone movie.
No.
No.
But I think they're just saying that kids in general are going to have trouble following this.
But I think it is geared more towards young adults and adults, you know?
Sure. No. I mean, I think that's the staying power.
It is.
That it can be good for both, you know? And you do think that, you know, young kids, just like cartoons, they don't care what happens.
Yeah.
But if you got the kids between, like, I think, like, 5 and, like, 7 or maybe 4 and 7, that might be the danger range where it's like the kids are like, I don't understand what's happening, and you know, why are they doing this? And
but it's they did the beauty of obviously animation is it transcends the aging process, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the voices are maybe a little bit different, you know. You can tell
Right.
Craig T's
they've aged.
aged a little bit. Yeah, for sure.
Holly Hunter sounds great.
Yeah, she does sound good.
Now, did you notice, or did this occur to you, and I know this is kind of going to sound weird, but like in the, I've watched the first Incredibles afterwards, you know, just for kind of for fun to kind of remember the old one. So she looked kind of, you know, I mean, she had some dimensions or whatever, but nothing crazy. But I swear in this movie, they really accentuated her curves because she looked really like sexy for a cartoon.
They did, yes.
And you're like, that's not what she looked like before. She didn't have like the bubble butt.
Not that I remember. Yeah.
I mean, they tried to make her like a Kim Kardashian looking silhouette kind of. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's interesting that you're going to change like that. I mean, it's not a huge change.
That's funny you picked up on that too. Yeah, I saw that. As well.
Yeah, you can always
I don't know
see
if that's just part of being a male or.
Well, yeah, I mean, anytime you see a certain shape, you're like, oh, that's the right shape. You know, even if it's a cartoon, you're like, well, it's still the right shape. So.
But no, it's well worth a watch. If you enjoyed the first one, you'll enjoy the second one.
Yeah.
It's not as good, but what sequels usually ever are, you know, or ever.
Right.
Are.
I mean, doing a sequel that's as good as the original is like the ultimate craziness. I mean, that never happens.
Yeah.
So
there's a few.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's always going to be a few.
As we know. one of them being Star Wars.
Yeah, Empire Strikes. I mean, is it a better movie than the first one? It's hard to say because they're different kinds of movies. But, boy, you know, it's like, and no one can, I don't think very many people can appreciate it now because it's not the way it was, where you had this amazing villain for 3 years, and that's all you're thinking of is this crazy villain, Vader, and he's so evil, and he's a robot, and da-da-da. Like, when I was a kid, and I first saw, I think I was five, and I'm pretty sure my mom said, like, I didn't know what happened. Like, I didn't understand it. Like, I was like, how could that robot be his dad? Mm-hmm. You know? And Lucas actually talks about that when he went and talked to child psychologists. He goes, is this going to be too intense for them to have their hero's dad be a bad guy? And I guess a child psychologist told him they won't even buy it. They'll just say, oh, that's not possible. It's not his dad. And I did. That's exactly what I did as a kid. I was like, no, that doesn't make sense. He's not a person.
Right.
And then you went and saw Jedi 3 years later, and you're like, oh, it is a person inside. It's his dad. You know, like, as an adult, it probably made more sense.
Yeah, they really humanize him in the third one.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
On purpose.
And then you learn that it's actually his story and not Luke's.
Right.
So that's what, that you know, many of the things that George Lucas is a genius because he did
that's
that.
That's what makes Return of the Jedi so cool, too, you know?
Which I don't, some people don't like that, but boy, if he came out at our age and it came out, you love the Ewoks. That didn't bother you. It didn't ruin anything for you because you love the furry.
It was great.
All of us were Ewoks for
well
Halloween.
Played. It was well played, let's say.
We were all Ewoks
for
Halloween.
Do you want to move into kind of the latter portion of the show here?
Yeah, just real quick, we'll just mention that there is a drive online to create a new Last Jedi version. Apparently, they've got producers together and have committed $200 million to do this. Now, how could they ever get permission from Disney? How could they get any of the actors to do their roles? Would it even be considered canon? Or would they be thinking about doing it but changing things just enough that it doesn't infringe? And then, but it's just like our own story, you know, who knows? But the fact of the matter is it's not going to change the future Disney movies. So I don't think it's even possible to do it. But how cool would it be if they released a pirate film
and then just
put it as a torrent and been like, oh, we're not charging for it. It's just fan film. And, but boy, if they could get Mark Hamill to reprise his role.
Oh man,
it'd be a. I mean,
that's.
I hope
the key.
They take time
I think
and
that
make
would
a good story.
The key to the whole thing.
Yeah,
really, for me anyway.
Yeah, especially because of you know how rude they were to him. So yeah, let's go ahead and jump into the next portion. So this is going to be our top 10 sci-fi films must be standalone, no sequels or prequels, and they
no
can't
franchises.
Be remakes.
Right.
So no franchises. So again, no Lord of the Rings, Aliens, Matrix, Star
no
Trek,
Clover
Star Wars,
Field.
Super, and no superhero movies.
Yep.
Because we've already gone over our superhero favorites.
No
so.
Alien, no Matrix.
Nothing. Back to the Future, you know.
Standalone.
No remakes, no sequels, no prequels.
Quality.
So, like Prometheus doesn't count because it's part of the, it is technically an Alien
correct.
Part of the franchise and stuff.
Yeah, we just ruled out all those.
Yeah.
So
and I just realized there's one that I meant to have in here, and I don't have it in here. And
okay,
the
well,
thing is, I don't think I can still here, watch it.
I think what'll be fun is maybe just let's kind of talk about a few that we like that aren't on the top 10 that are honorable mentions for us.
Okay.
You know, and I'm probably going to dive in a little deeper to some of these, like Mark said, that maybe some of you aren't familiar with. And us being in our early 40s, I don't know what our age range is of our listeners, but Krull was one for me. It's an early 80s. It was just awesomely bad. Really cool movie. Starship Troopers is another one that doesn't quite make my top 10.
Well, that's a franchise.
Oh, that's
right.
I had it in my list.
So I had to take it out of my list.
Well, good thing it's not on my list. The Last Starfighter was a fun one for me. My brothers and I, we always loved watching that.
I didn't like that movie very much, but I did like that part where he's like, don't ever push that button. Okay, kid, now push the button. So that was always kind of cool.
Inception and Interstellar, both Nolan movies. I liked both of those. They don't crack my top 10 quite, but they're great.
One of those does crack mine.
Okay. Altered States is another one, favorite of mine. Huh. Early movie with William Hurt, and it's about mushrooms in a sensory deprivation chamber. And it
I think I got to watch that.
It gets all crazy.
I don't think
man.
I've seen that.
So that's kind of a fun one.
I have District 9 as an honorable mention one.
I've got that in my top 10.
Event Horizon.
It's a good one.
I love that movie, horror movie. A lot of people hate that movie.
Oh,
I thought it was good.
It's great.
Edge of Tomorrow. I really like that movie. It's just not quite in my top 10, but I had a lot of fun with that movie. I thought it was really cool the way they did it.
Gravity is one for me.
That's in my list.
Is it?
I think that's all the ones that I have that are honorable mentions.
And I've got, you know, some that I'm not a huge fan of necessarily that more people generally might be a fan of, such as Dune.
Yeah.
Labyrinth was a big one when I was a kid.
Oh, Labyrinth.
That was an awesome movie.
I didn't like that one either. But you know, The Dark Crystal.
I've got that on my list, actually. That's number
good.
Number 10.
They're making a second one. Supposed to come out not too long. Yeah. I rewatched the original. It's still good.
Oh, I know.
It's
it
just
holds
a good
up,
story.
Man. Yeah, it holds
and the
up.
And the Muppets were so good.
Yeah.
Or the puppets.
I agree. So, really, I guess that's kind of my list of honorable mentions that come to mind. Maybe I'll have a few as we go along here that I'm just brain farting on. But those are some fun standalone ones. Good catch on the Star Trek Troopers there. So, going into my list, as I said, Dark Crystal is number 10 for me. The story holds up over time. It's fantastic as an adult watching it. It was great as a kid watching it. I've enjoyed sharing it with the younger generation.
And which one is this again?
The Dark Crystal.
Oh, the one that, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just been a freaking great movie, man. It's just a great storyline. The characters are really lovable and believable. And so that to me cracks my top 10 and starts things off.
Yeah, no argument there. Obviously, I like that movie overall. So, it's just so weird how my phone doesn't charge through the USB hub. It has
that
to go
weird.
From the actual computer. But I just noticed my phone was starting to die, and I was like, uh-oh, I got a long day ahead. So, me, number 10 is The Thing. And
John Carpenter.
I have watched that movie so many times, and even with the dated special effects that look terrible in some places, the story is so cool.
It is.
I just love that movie.
So real quickly, is Big Trouble in Little China considered sci-fi?
Boy, I don't know. What would you consider that? I guess it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they're lightning and gods and things.
Boy, that didn't make my top 10.
Well, let's
10,
go ahead
but
and say we'll just go ahead and say that that's an honorable mention because we don't know if it counts.
Yeah.
But yes, fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's really
one of the best. Dude, that was back when Kim Cattrall was actually hot, or like when I thought she was hot. I don't think she got so hot when she got big. Mm-hmm. I mean, she didn't get big. She got voluptuous.
Yes.
You know, I thought she was kind of hotter when she was more of the girl next door kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying she had plastic surgery. Just saying she got bigger. So for me, number 9 is Gravity.
Gravity,
And I'll tell you why. So friend of mine who doesn't go to see movies almost ever was like, hey man, you know, I want to go see a movie. I haven't seen a movie in forever. And that Gravity movie looked cool. And I was like, oh, you know what? I've only seen like one commercial for that. Yeah. I love space. Let's go see that.
Yeah.
We took some edibles, right?
Cool.
Got, this is back when edibles like first became legal and got really loaded and sat down and that movie just starts and it's just space and it's silent and slowly the shuttle begins to come into view, you know, really slowly. And like it takes it seemed like a minute and a half, 2 minutes before like you realize what you're looking at. And I just remember from there all the way to the end, it was just like a nonstop ride, and I had a blast. So
yeah, that's just outside my top 10. But fantastic sci-fi, cool movie. I have Enemy Mine. number 9 on my list, which I think you probably have ranked a little higher.
No, my that for me, it's actually
is that an
honorable
mention? Yeah. Oh, okay.
But I didn't want to say that because I knew it was on your list.
Oh, man, so. I just love that movie.
And you know what? I never would have watched that, but my mom read the book.
Oh,
and she
cool.
was the one who wanted to watch it. And then it's like, when that thing had a baby, I was like, how can he have a baby? And she's like, oh, they're was it Andromedas or whatever? Like, they're all one gender or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand that concept,
yeah.
you know, when I was a kid. But
it's really well done. I mean, in a nutshell, it's basically about two different species.
At war.
Yeah, at war. Joining forces, you know, two.
Well, they both crash land on a planet,
yes,
right?
But then they're forced to work together
to survive
and get out, right? Yeah.
And then I think at the end, one of the races like finds them, and like he has to convince him not to kill the
yes,
other one or something.
Yes.
I don't remember how it ends. They might kill him.
No,
I
think that's right. I think, and then they listen to
yeah,
him.
Yeah, so I don't know.
But that's a great
yeah.
classic for me at 9.
So my next one, you've already actually mentioned it, was Inception.
Oh yeah,
that is mm-hmm. just cool. I mean.
It's really
just cool.
Modern day for me over the last 20 years, it might be one of the best 5 ideas for a movie.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, could it have been developed a little differently? I think, yeah. But I enjoyed it, and I think it is. It's top 15 for me.
I just didn't like the actor who played the rich kid. And not that he's a bad actor. I just don't like that kind of actor.
Yeah.
He's like more of a, not a method actor, but a. It feels to me like he's playing the same character any show he's in. Like, he's
yeah.
in Peaky Blinders, I think, on Netflix.
Is he?
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show.
I haven't seen that yet, but I've heard it's worth a watch.
It's interesting.
Yeah. The Martian for me at number 8.
Very good
movie. Man, I was blown away, actually. I was kind of going into it thinking that it might be a big bust.
Right.
And I think didn't we see it together? It was maybe.
Maybe.
I don't remember.
I
think
when did it come out?
I know Joanna and I were together. I thought maybe you were with us, but
I might have been with you guys to see it. I don't remember.
Both of us pleasantly surprised. Just a great story.
Yeah, it was just cool.
Yeah, it was just and really well done, and Matt yeah. Damon is fantastic.
Well, and Jessica Chastain, I mean, she's just an amazing actress.
She
Anything
is an amazing
she's in
actress.
Seems to be good. If you haven't seen Molly's Game.
I haven't. I'm excited to.
Boy, is that good.
And boy,
is she hot. I don't like redheads usually, but man, she is.
Yeah, she's.
In that movie, she is hot.
She's a pretty gal. No doubt about it. So at 7, I got District 9, which you talked about as an honorable mention, but I was blown away because I think it's just really well done and kind of off the map and different.
And I give him huge points for being revolutionary
yeah.
in the way they involved CGI characters with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was seamless. I still don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
And it was done by that South African director. I mean, I know it was mm-hmm. in South Africa, but I think it was a South African director.
It was a South African director.
And it was a cool
yeah.
idea that you got sprayed with a goo and, like, mm-hmm. you became one of them. It was like, oh, your DNA changed. It was just cool. I mean, mm-hmm. it's goofy. It doesn't mean
yeah.
it doesn't have to be realistic.
No, it was just a smart idea, and it's
yeah.
well executed.
Cool.
So I enjoyed it.
Number 7 for me, and I appreciate you for mentioning this because I probably would have forgot it, but it was 12 Monkeys.
Oh.
I love that movie. I mean, just cool. Cool idea, the time travel, the I know that they've made, and don't tell me it's not a lot on the list because they've got like a TV show now because I've never seen the TV show
yeah.
and it's not a movie.
Yeah.
So I don't count that as the same thing, but
right.
I thought that was really a good flick.
Oh, that's funny because 12 Monkeys is 6 for me.
Nice.
So what's your 6?
Ex Machina.
Oh, yeah. Man, that is so good. I have that a little higher up my list, actually.
Yeah.
I have Contact at number 5.
Oh, I have Contact higher. I'm a big fan of that movie.
Man, that is so good. And
so
it
many
is...
people hate that movie, too.
Oh, I don't understand that.
Oh, they're like, wait, that whole movie just to see that stupid, caricature of her dad. And it's like,
it's
no,
kind of like,
that was clever.
Like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. It's in that.
But I mean, all the time, like, yeah, you make contact, but you don't know, you keep discovering how to make better contact. That was awesome. That's
yeah.
actually number 3 on my list.
Yeah, Contact is amazing. So that's 5
Plus,
for me.
I loved S.R. Haddon.
I did too.
He was cool.
Yes, he was cool.
Sad he died.
Yes.
So
5 for me was Contact. What's your 5?
Arrival.
Like the new Arrival with
right.
Amy Adams.
Yeah,
yeah, that's Renick. Good. I thought that was well done.
I thought because the thing that's so funny is I talked to so many people after they saw that movie and I had seen it, and I was surprised how few people got the main plot point, which was as she learned to communicate in their language, her brain learned to think the way they did, and she was able to transcend time.
Mm-hmm.
And people, how many people didn't pick up on that? They were like, right. Oh, that's what happened? I thought it was just jumping around to show us the story.
Sure.
It's like, no.
No, she
began.
It, yeah.
She came outside of time. And that's why she was able to start her story at the end, basically, with her daughter dying from cancer, because she was no longer in time. She was now jumping around based on her knowledge.
And it was a clever twist.
But then it didn't really happen until after she started learning the language.
Right.
Like, they kind of interspersed it just right.
No, so, they did. Yeah, it was really clever.
I love that.
And how it was written.
Like I said, I don't like Jeremy Renick, but that's still a big hit for me.
Yeah, no, that was a good one. 4 for me is Gattaca.
Oh, that's a good one. That would have been my honorable mentions if I didn't know it was on your list.
That is a good one. Yep.
Very good. I've seen it at least 5 times, and every time I like it.
Yeah.
You know, especially the part where he has to crawl up the stairs to get in the chair and look like he's, you know, okay. That was cool. So my next one for me. So first I'm going to say this. I didn't know what to do with E.T. because E.T. to me is one of the most transcendent, amazing movies of all time in terms of being the first movie where aliens were nice and not evil.
Yep.
You know, it was like, maybe Close Encounters was maybe the first one, but it was a different idea to not be evil. Right?
Yeah.
Aliens were always bad guys.
Right.
Now they were a sweet, you know, character. Mm-hmm. But I will say I tried to watch E.T. recently and I didn't like it. Like, I got very bored.
Oh, it's a franchise.
So what was that?
It's a franchise.
What were you going to say?
Independence Day.
Oh yeah.
The original.
Yeah.
One.
The original.
Yeah.
It's
a franchise,
So I don't actually have E.T. on my list. If I was going to include them, they would be my number 4.
I find it interesting that you bring it up because I have E.T. tied for first on my list.
Yeah. And like I
said, it's a good thing you brought it up.
If I'm going to just look at it on the face value of the movie itself, it was amazing. It was transcendent.
Yes.
But it's not a movie I have enjoyed watching since I got older.
Yeah,
I've
watched it once or twice, and I'm kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But at the time, oh, my gosh.
But being the same age as Elliot when it came out,
And, you know, here's another one that's a franchise, darn it.
What's that?
Cocoon.
That's a franchise?
There's 2 of them.
There's a second Cocoon?
Yeah.
Oh.
Which
that
is
was
two,
a great movie.
Yes, because the
first
one is
dope.
Good.
Yeah. Just like Batteries Not Included, I like that movie too, but I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Same actors,
yep.
But I wouldn't put that on my list. Yep. So for me, instead, and this is probably where people are going to be like, what? Paycheck. I love that movie. I thought that was so clever.
The acting's terrible.
Yeah, that was before Affleck
but
got
the
talented.
The story's cool.
And Uma Thurman's not a good actress, but great idea.
No, the story's
so
cool.
Clever.
Yeah, I like it.
The ending
like
was a little goofy, but
it's not top 10 for me. But
I just loved having these little things, having to figure out what to use to survive. I'm a big fan of discovering.
Damn,
and
that's high up
out.
Your list. That's crazy.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
Well, I got Ex Machina 3. I have kind of a bromance with that movie. I just think it's incredible.
My stepdad, the only time I've ever heard of him saw a sci-fi movie, he went and saw like 4 times.
Yeah.
Because now he also, and I agree with him. What's her name? Is it not Annika? The actress that plays the girl.
Oh.
But her in real life, Vidikoff, whatever her name is. I can't remember her name.
I can't remember off the top of my head either.
I always want to say Annika, but I know it's
She's
not
playing
right.
Tomb Raider now.
Right. She
Alicia.
Is,
Alicia Vikander.
Alicia Vikander.
Yeah.
Yeah. She is unbelievably hot.
Yeah.
Now, in this movie, of course, I mean, she's hot in this movie, but that's not quite the same as when you see her, like, normal. And when she had that tan and that yellow dress on the Academy Awards that one year, boy, I don't think I've ever seen a woman hotter in my life. And unfortunately, she's dating Michael Fassbender, or she was. I don't know if they still are, but that means you're not getting her because if you don't already know, Fassbender is an incredible actor. Number 2, he's got an amazing physique. People forget he was in 300. He was one of those people with that amazing body.
And
I've heard he's got a massive schlong. And so, you're not getting her as long as he wants her.
That's hilarious.
So, damn it, that bastard. But he sure is a good actor. He's great in Magneto.
He is a good actor.
Good in everything, but he's great in Magneto.
Yes.
Number 3 for me is Contact. So we already went over that.
Yes.
One. So number 2?
Number 2 is
2 and 1 are going to be interesting. I can't wait to hear
2 is They Live. That is.
I don't even know if I've seen that.
Dude, it's just awesome. It's so awesomely bad. You know?
A B movie?
Yes. Like, on that level.
Yeah.
It's like an A movie, but in the style of a B movie.
I like that, yeah.
And it's, you know, Roddy Piper and some faces
you'll recognize. Roddy Piper.
Yeah. He was a wrestler.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. Rowdy.
Way to step out of your comfort zone, Rowdy.
Rowdy Roddy Piper, yeah.
Yeah, I remember him, dude. He was, they tried to make him a big character so hard in WWF, and, like, I never liked him. He was just a stupid character. But, I mean, you know, but, I mean, they like to sell him because he was, like, the patriotic Scott, and then we had the patriotic Hulk Hogan, so they were the good guys, you know. Anyway, that's a whole different discussion.
You're funny. It's
WWF.
But anyway, it's just awesome, right? So basically they have these special sunglasses, and it reveals who are aliens and that they've been here for a long time.
Isn't that crazy when you go to work and you got your sunglasses on and you're like, I knew that fucking bitch was an alien.
Yep, just and there's kidding. A lot of that. There is some of that going on. So it's an early 80s movie. I just think it's one of the best, most clever.
It sounds like a really clever idea. I want to see it. I don't think
I've
ever seen it.
You have to see it. It's awesome.
I think we both can. Also, we're talking about Source Code. If you haven't seen Source Code, go see that. That's a really cool, another 12 Monkey-ish type kind of movie.
Yeah, it's a top 25 for me.
Yeah, it's not in my list here, but that's a fun movie. Yeah. So number two for me, and this is one of my all-time favorites, is Fifth Element. I just love that movie. Are you grinning because it's your number one?
It is. Yeah.
I mean, it's just universal, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's my favorite,
I mean,
Fifth Element.
How many movies could have had Chris Tucker as that character and been good? Not many.
I don't know.
But boy, did they. To me, when I saw that movie, I thought, that's the first movie I've ever seen where I could say, you know what? That's exactly what Earth could look like in 45 years, 50 years. You know, you could totally see it, right? Or 100 years. Be like, oh, yeah. You know, and it's such a great ideas like the cigarette with a huge filter to help you quit.
Right.
You know, the shower that goes up and down and shrink wraps and, you know, just everything about that movie's just cool. And Bruce Willis has always been a favorite of mine. I don't care if he's a conservative. I think he's a great actor.
Yeah.
And loved him in that one. So, sorry to spoil your number one.
It's okay.
So, did you see my number one?
No.
Do you want to take any kind of a guess, or do you want me to give you hints? It's not like it's a movie that hasn't been seen by a lot of people, but it was never a big theater movie.
Hmm.
It's kind of a word of mouth movie, kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, it. You probably only have seen it if someone recommended it to you, even though it had a major budget and some major stars.
I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so Kiefer Sutherland is in it.
Flatliners?
No, I do like that, though. But that's a franchise now, right? Because they got that remake.
Yep, because there's a reboot.
The reboot's not good.
Yeah.
Not as good, anyway.
Lost Boys?
No, but another good one. So also Jennifer... Who's the pretty buxom brunette? She's actually been in some serious roles. She was in the crazy movie, Requiem for a Dream.
Oh, Jennifer Connelly?
Connelly, yes. Yeah. She's in it. Kiefer Sutherland and Jennifer Connelly.
Huh.
Maybe you haven't seen this.
I don't know.
What's another hint I could give you? The main character, I don't think I can think of anything else he's been in. Constant night. You don't ever see daytime.
Huh.
So you haven't seen it, I don't think. So don't Dark know. City.
Oh, Dark City. Yeah, yeah. I have
Where
seen it.
Where the aliens
it,
change the world
long,
every night.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But yeah. I have seen that.
I just love that movie. Hmm. And had never heard of it. It was in the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And my buddy was like, I got Dark City because we didn't have any cable or anything. Sure. So when you got a new movie to watch on video, people went crazy. Hmm. And because we were cut off from society pretty much at the Grand Canyon, at the North Rim of the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
And boy, when he brought that movie in and we got torched and drunk as hell and watched that movie and were just blown away. And I think that has a part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The nostalgia memory of the first time you see a movie, I think, impacts how much you love it.
Oh, for
you know?
Sure. For sure.
And, but yeah, so if you haven't seen it out there, see that movie. That's a great movie.
That's an
Wild.
Interesting number one. Yeah. But I've heard, that definitely has a cult following. No doubt about it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like a lot of people have seen it, but it was never like a big hit.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't think it ever made, I don't know how much it cost, but like I said, the main actor, I've never heard of him or seen him since or before. So, but yeah, I thought it was cool. So that's our list.
Yeah.
So good list. We're definitely hitting close to an hour here, if not going over. So we'll go ahead and call this good. So if you did tune in and listen to us, thanks for tuning in. Hopefully it was an enjoyable, interesting discussion. I can't give you a time on the next episode, but hopefully Nate's work schedule has gotten more normal, so we can try and do this at least every other week. Be nice to kind of get a little bit of a schedule or a flow going. We do want to appreciate, I mean, we have had a lot of listeners to the Alien Offensive, and I really appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that people are willing to listen to things other than sports, which is obviously our first, our flagship product, if you say. So, anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
No, just thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. We had a blast last hour, and looking forward to the next show. We'll try to keep you all posted.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, remember, you can always go to our website at thesportsoffensive.com or Blog Talk Radio to listen to the show. But if you go to The Sports Offensive, this will be on the very front page. And you can actually listen to all three of our shows, most recent episode, on that front page. So thanks again for tuning in, and everyone have a wonderful weekend.